What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
Yeah. I agree. Let's have some harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan. And how about we throw some members of Congress and some senators in there to boot? Some presidential nominees, some candidates. How about harsher punishment for people in office at the federal level who have clearly transgressed the laws of our nation and yet are still walking free and are wealthy beyond your wildest dreams? Good morning, Mark Congleton here with The Daily Perspective. Hopefully you're having a good day so far. Can you tell where my brain is today? It's just that I tend to look at the news all day long every day, regardless of what I'm doing. If I'm in the car, I've got news on. If I'm at the house, I've got my phone or my iPad in hand and I'm scanning news stories. If I am at dinner, please forgive me, I tend to scan news stories when there are lulls in the conversation. I am constantly sucking up the news is what I'm doing. And I see all of this crap going on in our society. And honestly, it just rubs me the wrong way. And for an hour a day, I get to vent. And you get to come along for the ride. Bless your heart. And I mean that in a good way. Oh, my goodness. I hope you're having a great day, regardless of where you may be or when you may be listening. It's today looks like a beautiful day in our neighborhood. There's sunshine. The birds are chirping. The squirrels are running around in the trees. It's just a beautiful day here. And it's the pollen's starting to come back after the rain we had passing through our area recently. And I've given up. I've just given up on trying to keep the car clean. The main car, the one that I drive daily, my daily driver, gets parked outside the garage because let's see. My wife, my sweet wife, Jane, sweetest woman in the world, her car is parked inside the garage. Our ancient little two-seater ragtop little convertible, it's an old Miata. It sits inside the garage because if I were to leave it outside, I think it would just turn to dust and fall to the driveway. I'm not going to leave it outside. So my car gets parked outside, and about once a week, it goes to the cheapy car wash and gets the pollen knocked off of it because you can't tell what color it is unless I do that. I can't find it in a parking lot. If I go into Lowe's for parts for a project at the house and come back out, I'm looking for the red with them. Where's my car? I have to sound the alarm to find my car because it's yellow now instead of being the color it's supposed to be. So I have to do that once a week. So I'm like so many of you, allergies, sinus conditions, things like that. I won't burden you with any stories. But the thing is that if you go out this time of year and you're an allergy sufferer, you're just committing slow suicide. It's just crazy. So you tend to stay indoors as much as you can. You keep when you're out running around, you keep the air circulation in the car on recirculate. So it's just recirculating the air in the car and filtering that instead of pulling in from outside. It's just that time of year for us. You and me, fist bump. I'm telling you, it's rough. But between the politics and the pollen, I'm glad to stay indoors and to vent to you from time to time. And there's plenty to vent about today. The leftist Hollywood elite, they're back at it again. Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar, the Jew shrews, they're at it again. Alyssa Milano. I don't talk about Alyssa Milano much. Because, quite frankly, it gives me an aneurysm to try to think the way she does. She's back in the news. Mick Jagger. I think we'll go with Mick Jagger here pretty quickly in just a couple of moments. Because, quite frankly, old buddy Mick, aside from the fact that it's miraculous that he's still alive, he's having surgery. And we'll get onto that in just a couple of minutes because I think it's interesting. what's happening to him. And if you're a fan, if you're a Rolling Stones fan, that's great. They've put out some classic music. They've put out some great stuff. Their longevity is amazing. They have a fan base that goes from people in their 60s down to people in their 20s. And it's just amazing what they've managed to accomplish in the time that they've been around. But okay, let's just dive into it here. I'll scroll down and pull that one up to the top, okay? This one just blows my mind. And you'll understand why in a couple of minutes. Mick Jagger is having heart valve replacement surgery this week. They've postponed the U.S. tour of the Rolling Stones so Mick can have this surgery. He's 75. Mick Jagger is 75. He's having the operation in New York. They expect him to make a full recovery. A source says he'll be undergoing a non-invasive heart valve procedure. The prognosis is good. This kind of surgery has a high success rate. Sir, by the way, he was knighted. Sir Mick Jagger hopes to be out of the hospital 48 hours after the heart surgery, back on the stage by the summer. Professor Sir Nilesh Somani, medical director at the British Heart Foundation, said Mick will probably have keyhole heart surgery. The benefit is that there are no big scars that need to heal, unlike open heart surgery. Because after all, at the age of 75, Mick is on the beach in his Speedo every weekend, and he doesn't want everybody to see that nasty, ugly heart surgery scar. And here I am fretting over the scar on my knee from knee replacement surgery. He goes on to say a patient can expect to go home within 24 to 48 hours, feel well 1 or 2 weeks later, be back to normal health after a month. The procedure is highly successful, and if all goes well, it's possible Mick will have more energy than previously. And when you're 75, you want all the energy you can get. Now, over the weekend, it was announced they're postponing their upcoming North American Stadium Tour. Going to allow Sir Mick to undergo the medical treatment. He announced Saturday he'd not be able to take the stage because a routine scan alerted doctors to an issue that's going to would require treatment. He said, "I hate letting down our fans. I'm hugely disappointed to have to postpone the tour, but I'm looking forward to getting back on stage as soon as I can." That's really about all there is to the meat of the story, except for this. Why is it that Mick Jagger is having this procedure done in New York? Why? Why is he having his procedure done in the United States of America? Why? Inquiring minds would like to know. Isn't the British healthcare system the model that the left is rubbing our noses in constantly, telling us it is superior, that people are better cared for, that it ensures that everybody is covered by healthcare and it's fair and it's good and it's wonderful and it was breathed by angels from heaven and that it is absolutely perfect in every way and that Mary Poppins would be proud of it? Aren't we told that the British healthcare system is the model we should look to for our own? If it is so wonderful, why is Mick Jagger coming to the United States to have heart surgery? This is an example which proves all of the other examples that we have given you over the years, and that is that the British healthcare system ain't all it's cracked up to be. We tell you time and time again, and when I say we, I say those of us like myself who are in conservative talk formats, we tell you that people with money come here when it really counts. And heart valve replacement really counts. So, Mick Jagger's coming to the United States of America, where the healthcare system and medical care in itself, just itself, is superior to every other nation on earth, to have his heart surgery. He's coming here because it's better here. He's coming here because he knows that if he puts himself in the hands of doctors in the UK, his chances of getting back on stage in a month are a lot lower. That's why Mick Jagger is having his heart valve replacement surgery done here in the United States of America. You see, regardless of what you are told about our healthcare system, it is the best. It has been the best for a very long time. And for a very long time, we have seen story after story of people with money coming from all corners of the globe to have delicate procedures, important procedures done here, not back home, even though they have piles of money, even though they have more money than you can imagine in your lifetime. They don't pay somebody to come to them. They come here because they know the truth. They know that contrary to what the left, what the progressives are lying to you about, they know that when it counts, you better have that surgery done in the United States, because our healthcare system is better than everybody else's. So, Mick Jagger is singing that song. I'm getting my heart repaired in the United States, because if I had it done back home, I might not make it back to my rather expensive home. I might not be able to enjoy all of my money. I might not be able to step back on stage again, not only in a month, but ever again. So I think I'll get my surgery done where they get the job done right. You see, Mick knows the UK healthcare system is not what they say it is. Have I beaten that horse, that dead horse, enough? I don't think you can, honestly. Because the progressives, especially the politicians, keep barking this same tune that our healthcare system is unfair, that our healthcare system is inferior, that our healthcare system is wrong. And so it's up to them, the geniuses in government, the people who brought you the post office, the people who brought you Amtrak, these people, it's up to them to step in and fix everything that's wrong with our healthcare system. And you saw what happened. They were even inept when they presented their ideas to the Supreme Court. And a friendly member of the Supreme Court had to correct them. We can't give you what you're asking for unless it's a tax. And guess what? They rephrased things and made it a tax, and then the Supreme Court said, oh yeah, we can get behind that. Well, as a result of their genius, millions of Americans lost their health care coverage. Millions of Americans could no longer afford their health care coverage. I saw an example this morning of somebody who opted out. And I just can't do this, because it was going to cost him $7,000 up front to get his program started when he went online to the website. $7,000 up front, out of pocket. His deductible, $10,000. So for most people, for most families, in a year, they'll never cover those costs. Never! Their insurance will never kick in. They'll spend thousands of dollars on health care, and the government's program will never benefit them in any way, shape, or form. It will, however, benefit under 15% of our population. That 15% consisting of people who, A, choose not to buy into healthcare plans because they're young and don't think they need it, or they couldn't afford it. Well, they could afford it now because the guy shelling out $7,000 up front and another $10,000 for his deductible is taking care of them. but he can't take care of his own family. This is the government who wants to take over our healthcare system. They want to make it like the one in the UK, which is so superior. It's so superior, Mick Jagger won't use it. More when the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. I'm handling the hosting duties. You might say I'm driving the big old bus. Brakes need fixing. Hey, thanks to those of you who are listening wherever you are listening. When I check the podcast statistics and such, it's interesting to see. We have people downloading and listening the podcast from coast to coast, into the Pacific, across the Atlantic. And it's interesting to see the mix of people in the regions. Just thank you. Thank you very much. You just don't know how much I appreciate the fact that you take part of your day and listen to me rant. It's gratifying and humbling at the same time. And for those of you who join on the live version, and that would be during the podcast or during the Facebook Live version of things, thank you so much for carving out this hour as we do this live, warts and all. And the difference between the two, I'll tell you, the difference between the two is that the Facebook Live program runs like a radio show. It starts at the top of the 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock central hour. There are breaks, and during those breaks you hear public service type commercial and non-commercial announcements, and at some point commercials, we'll end up putting those in there. But you hear that, and if you subscribe to the podcast, then I know as a podcast listener myself, one of the reasons you listen to podcasts is because you want to hear content. And so I take the recording of the Daily Perspective Facebook Live show and trim those breaks out. So what you hear is you just hear me rant and rave or talk about things or make my observations up until the music runs for me to get out of the way for the break. The music finishes, the music starts back up again. And I'm back. So you get the same show minus the content in between the segments. So there you go. That's the difference between those. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thanks for sharing this with your friends. And if you haven't shared this show, this podcast with your friends, can I ask you to do me a favor? Share it with your friends. Just pass them along a link and say, hey, you ought to check this podcast out, or you ought to check on this Facebook Live event every morning. It happens 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock central. It's on the Mark and Mac Show Facebook page, and I might as well explain why it's there. If you're new, the Mark and Mac Show, Dave Mack and I have done a radio show for a long time. Let's see. What is the year now? 2019? We started back in the year 2000. And at one time had, excuse me, we had what was the highest ranked morning show in Christian broadcasting across the nation. There was no other station anywhere in America which in the top 50, well, in the top 50, that none of them broke into the top 10 in their markets. None of them even came close. And we were number 3 in our market. And that said a lot, because we were appealing to not only church people, but we were reaching out beyond the walls of the church and showing people that you know, you can believe and not be a wet towel. We just laughed about life, and that rubbed some people the wrong way. They wanted us to read scriptures and have a time of prayer for people and things like that. And you know what? There are a lot of shows out there doing that. That's fine. Do that. They wanted us to declare that we were safe for the whole family. Well, instead of declaring it, we just were. And it appealed to a lot of people. we went from there after a little over 5 years doing that. We moved from there and we did a talk. Let's see, we did a TV show that was on the local CBS affiliate in Birmingham, Alabama. And we were the, in our time slot, it was 6:30 to 7 a.m. It was a really short, it was a short show early in the morning, but we were number one. It was kind of crazy. But, and that didn't live for a very long time because, you know, we were having fun. We were people, we were men of faith who were having a good time, and that rubbed some people the wrong way. Specifically, somebody who was over the sales department who would rather make money some other way. He thought the old reruns of the Beverly Hillbillies were better programming than we were, even though the viewers disagreed. Let's see, what else? Oh, after that, we moved to talk radio. We did talk radio at a station for a while, and then had an opportunity to move from that to another. That was on an AM station, and that same company moved us to an FM. And at that point, they paired us up. They insisted on putting somebody else with us on the show, which upset the chemistry and the balance. And it made it, that was a few months that were very, very uncomfortable. And it just got weird. As much as we all enjoyed each other, the chemistry just didn't click. And just as things were starting to, they pulled the plug. And we later learned that the only reason they moved us over was because they were in negotiations with a syndication package from somebody, and they needed time to fill the space until they could get the syndication up, which lasted about 90 days at the tops. And then they were looking for something else. But, and now Dave's doing an afternoon talk show. We've done off and on, we've done things together for all these years. And, in the meantime, I spent 10 years working as the director of technology for the Scott Dawson Evangelistic Association, and then Dave continued to do radio for iHeartRadio, and he decided to leave iHeart and call me up and said, "Listen, I got an opportunity. You want in?" And I said, "Sure, let's go." And we started our show back up again, doing a talk show, which we did for a couple of years, and then on a station which was suffering. Dave gets 100% of the credit for the recovery, by the way. It got to the point where the station was breaking even and moving into the black, and the ownership decided, wow, now we can sell it. And they sold it out from under us. And the new ownership said, now music is where to go. And they cut us loose. So, and now Dave is doing the show in Huntsville in the afternoons on a talker there. And I'm minding my own business doing things. And, we look for opportunities on a regular basis to get back together again. We actually are, and I've said this before, and I know it sounds weird, but it's been going on for a while. We're actually talking with another station, and they're not in a big hurry, but they are very interested. And hopefully we'll be back on the air again, and we'll start bringing you those shows as well on the Mark and Mac Show website and the Facebook page. And that was the long way around to explain where we are now. Wow. Boy, that took forever, didn't it? It sure did. But that's why this is happening every day. I decided at one point, you know, while we're waiting for things to play out as we go through these talks, while we're doing this, why not just stay in practice? So I started doing a daily podcast and keeping my feet in the on the track and running, so that you know, so I wouldn't get rusty. And in the 2 months I was out for the surgery, I got rusty. And it shows now. And so thanks for your patience as I get my feet back under me, so to speak. All right, let's take a look at, actually, I've got just a few minutes here to get into something. There are things happening on the border. President Trump is talking about, closing the border, which I think, in my opinion, is an excellent idea. I think he should close the border because we need to take every step possible to stop the flow of illegals across the border. As it is right now, what's happening is that foreign invaders, that's the only thing you can call them. You can say, oh, but they're poor people looking for a better life. Yeah, there's a way to do that. There is a legal way to do that. Sneaking in, like, if these people snuck into your house and started eating out of your refrigerator and running up your power bill and you know, crowding you out of your personal spaces, you would have a different view. If you invited them in, you would give them conditions. I need you, you know, we always lock our doors. You can't bring anybody in here. I don't know. You're going to have conditions. Well, the thing is that these people are sneaking into the house. They are not being invited. And that's the difference. We want people to bring their uniqueness here. We want them to bring the strengths of their cultures here. We want them to become part of the fabric that is America. We just want them to do it the right way. And the right way is to apply for citizenship. The right way is to go through the system. Yes, it takes time. Yes, it costs a little money. But it's worth the investment to become one of us. That's the important part. If you're not willing to make the investment of time and money to become one of us, then you are not one of us. And I don't care what the leftist politicians say, these people are not citizens of this country. These people don't have the right to vote. These people don't have the right to access our support systems. These people are not us. As much as we would like them to be part of us, they have chosen to sneak in our back door rather than come in the right way. And that's wrong. Well, Homeland Security is transferring a couple of thousand officers away from the ports of entry to assist the Border Patrol. And we'll look at that coming up next as the Daily Perspective continues. Still to come, Nancy Pelosi has once again opened her mouth and proven that she doesn't know what she's talking about. We'll take a look at those stories from the idiots on the left in Hollywood. And what's happening in Chicago? Is it finally all starting to fall apart there? All of these as the Daily Perspective continues. It is the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective, the not April Fool's Day edition of the Daily Perspective, with little old me, Mark Congleton, driving the big shaky bus. Hey, have you signed up for the newsletter yet? I've actually got the page open where I put it all together, where I edit the newsletter. And as soon as the show is over, as soon as the live version of the show is over, then I will click send, and you'll get the links of the stories we're talking about and some stuff we didn't get to today, because we won't have time for everything. But that's what happens with the Daily Perspective newsletter. You get the links to what we talk about each day and other things that I thought would be good for the mix, but just time just got away. I ran my mouth too much to get to the rest of the stories, but you get them all. Sometimes those stories will pop up in the next day or so because, hey, they need to be talked about. So you get advanced copies of that as well. And from time to time, now and then, once in a blue moon, something crazy will hit my skull and I'll say, you know, I need to write that down. I need to jot that down. And I'll put some thoughts, I'll type out some thoughts, and the next thing you know, you've got them in your inbox. So get signed up today for the Daily Perspective newsletter. You can do so, if you go to the Daily Perspective Facebook page, just search for the Daily Perspective. Go to markandmacshow.com. Go to markcongleton.com. There's a form right in the sidebar on my site, markcongleton.com. You can fill it out right there, and off you go. From then on, you'll be getting, once you verify that you really do want it, because it's a double opt-in process. You get an email after you fill out the form to verify, yeah, you really want it. That's a legal thing. It has to happen. So do that today. Get signed up and find out what's happening. And you can look at the, because I don't actually, many times I don't dig completely into the stories because some of them go on and on and on. There's amazing information in these stories, but I don't get to everything just because of the constraints of time. Okay. So It's good resource material for your brain. Well, Homeland Security will be transferring a couple of thousand officers away from ports of entry to assist the Border Patrol, Homeland Security in their duties, according to Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen. She said this yesterday. They're escalating the all-hands-on approach to trying to stop the massive illegal immigration surge. Ms. Nielsen also ordered Customs and Border Protection to speed up its plans to make migrants wait in Mexico while they demand asylum in the U.S. In other words, they present themselves at ports of entry. That's how asylum works. Not crossing the border in between ports of entry. Not crossing on some farmer's property. Not wading across the Rio Grande. You present yourself at a port of entry and say, I'm seeking asylum. Well, okay, let me get your information. What's happening now is, let me get your information. All right, here's a court date. You can come back then, and then they disappear. Well, what they're saying they want to do is to go through the same process, except, no, you go back into Mexico and you wait until we call you. Now, doesn't that make more sense? Doesn't that make just basic sense? Yes, it does. But politicians don't think that way. Yeah. Ms. Nielsen says the moves were stopgaps, and the real solutions have to come from Capitol Hill, but they do offer a chance to dent the surge of migrants that's reaching unprecedented levels of children and families. She says, we will not stand idly by while Congress fails to act yet again. So all options are on the table. We will immediately redeploy hundreds of CBP personnel, Customs and Border Patrol personnel, to the border to respond to this emergency. We will urgently pursue additional reinforcements from within DHS and the interagency. We will require those seeking to enter the United States to wait in Mexico until an immigration court has reviewed their claims. CBP, the agency that oversees the legal ports of entry and the Border Patrol agents that patrol in between the ports, had already authorized 750 officers to be pulled from the ports and deployed to the line. Their duties will include transporting, processing, and watching over illegal immigrants while they seek medical care. Up to 40% of agents' time right now is being absorbed by those babysitting duties. Ms. Nielsen said under her new orders, up to 2,000 officers can be deployed now. And she left open the possibility of even more. Those redeployments are likely to send wait times at the legal border crossings soaring, bringing the pain of illegal immigration home to some Americans. So we have thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people, who present themselves at border access points, border crossings. Those are the people she's talking about working with. We also have a lot of people who are crossing not at those places. And as I said before, those people are the ones who are sneaking in through open windows, through the unlocked back door. They're sneaking into our home. And while they may do some house cleaning, they may do some things to help around the house, they're still crowding us. I say crowding us. We've got lots of space, but do you know what I'm talking about? They're using our services, which are intended to help citizens, people born here and people who came here legally. And they came here illegally. And yet, politicians are making the emotional plea that we take care of these people, that we house these people, that we feed these people, that we take care of them in ways that often our own people don't get. I don't mean to come across as say, well, our people and them. It's not an us and them situation, except that it has to be because these people are invaders. They may be people with families, they may be people with children, but they have come here illegally. They have broken the law to be in our land. And as compassionate a people as we are, and we are a very compassionate people, just ask the millions upon millions of people alive today who would not be alive unless, except for the compassion of the United States of America. We are a compassionate people. But at the same time, we cannot let emotion override the facts. And the facts tell us these people are coming in, they're taking advantage of our systems, and they are at the same time being taken advantage of themselves by employers who will employ them for a lower rate than legal pay, who will work them longer hours than they should be working, who will, as I said, take advantage of them. So we have our own issues to deal with. We need to crack down on that activity, and it's being done to a degree. But it's like anything else. Laws don't impact unless they're enforced. And there needs to be much stricter enforcement. It's like the gun problems. The reason the criminals keep doing what they're doing is because enforcement isn't what it could be. Politicians prefer to blame other things and come up with other solutions because politicians love to posture in front of TV cameras and offer solutions to problems, problems which would not exist if they themselves would simply insist on enforcing the policies that had already been proposed to solve the problems. And because of that, we have issues with illegal immigration. That and leftists, progressives, are actively campaigning outside of our nation to motivate people to come here because they know that once they there's a trip point that they'll get to where all of the politicians will parade out onto the talking head shows simultaneously, and they will issue talking points to all of the leftist talking head shows on the leftist news networks. And they will insist that we have crossed a tripping point, that there is no option except to offer these people that are all here illegally amnesty and to grant them citizenship. There's already talk about that. And every time it comes up, the outcry is loud enough that they say, whoops, well, never mind. But when they actually are able to push amnesty and enough so-called conservatives buy into the emotionalism behind that, and this is what kills me, is that there are actually people across the aisle, people in the Republican Party, who believe that if they grant amnesty, that all of these illegals will vote Republican. Which is the biggest piece of idiocy I've seen in quite some time. No. They're not going to vote for you. They're going to vote for the people who've been lying to them for years, because they want what their lies promise. So they're going to vote Democrat. And the Democrat politicians know this, which is why they are pushing so hard for people to condemn the wall, to condemn border enforcement. That's why there is such an open borders push coming from the progressives, because they know they have lied to these people enough and promised them enough things that they're going to vote progressive. They're going to vote Democrat when they can finally grant them amnesty and citizenship. That's the bottom line. And the bottom line is always the bottom line. And with progressives, the bottom line is always about power and control. And they always use people to access that power and control. They lie, they cheat, they manipulate, they twist, they obfuscate, they do everything they can to convince people who don't dig deeply enough into the facts that what they're proposing is good. But it's all about granting more power and control. Always. So now they will use these poor, unfortunate people for more power and more control. Sliding into the last segment of the day. It's the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sharing with your friends. Thanks for being there. You know, I was away for 2 months. And just back into it for a couple of days now. A week. And I already want a vacation. Oh, man. I could really, really soak up sitting on the veranda of a cruise ship with room service bringing me coffee and stuff. But, no, we get to talk about the idiocy that is our government and other things. And speaking of idiots in government, let's talk about... Who would be good? Let's see. Oh, I know. Here's a good one.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California. She's talking about solving the wage gap. You know, that wage gap, that thing that the leftists trot out, it seems like every day. Women aren't getting paid as much as men. They're making 72 or 73 cents on the dollar. And then they leave out all of the pertinent details which explain the difference in the amount of money women and men make. They leave out the fact that it's actually been law since, what is it, 63? Is that right? It's just the actual year slips my mind, but it's actually been the law for decades. Women doing the same work get paid the same amount. It's the law. The difference is women make different choices. Women opt not to work overtime hours. Women opt not to work weekends. Women, not all women, but more than men, opt not to pursue the career paths that men do. Because their priorities are different. That's a very, very simple thing to understand. But progressives don't want you to understand that. They want you to think things are unfair. They want you to believe there are victims. Because victimhood is the cornerstone of progressivism. Well, speaking in support of the Paycheck Fairness Act, this is a new scam, by the way. They're trying to equalize pay for women when they already have it. Why do they do this? Because progressives must be heroes for the downtrodden. Progressives must convince people that they are victims, and the progressives are there as their advocates. That's why they do things like this. Speaking in support of the Paycheck Fairness Act being debated in the House, Pelosi said women work the first 3 months of the year for free compared to men. Quote, "We're proud to pass this bill before Equal Pay Day, which is today, April 2nd, which symbolizes when women's wages catch up to a man's earnings from the previous year." So in other words, for the first 3 months of the year, most women are working for free compared to what a man will make in the overall year. Hey, when is that day for taxes? Do you remember? There is a day that we all worked. It's sometime in May, isn't it? That we all work up until that day, when you average it all out, we all work up until that day just to pay the government. And after that, the rest is ours. Let's talk about that instead of this, because that's real. Quote, let's move forward. Despite the enactment of the Equal Pay Act of 1963, I was right. Many women continue to earn significantly lower pay than men for equal work. That's how the language contained in the bill reads. It says these pay disparities exist in both the private and governmental sectors. Pay disparities are especially severe for women and girls of color. According to the bill, the explanation for such disparities is discriminatory behavior by companies. Evil companies! They are discriminatory! It's the man. In many instances, the pay disparities can only be due to continued intentional discrimination or the lingering effects of past discrimination. After controlling for educational attainment, occupation, industry, union status, race, ethnicity, and labor force experience, roughly 40% of the pay gap remains unexplained. Well, the bill passed the House 242 to 187. But critics contend the oft-cited wage gap can be explained by factors other than discrimination. A 2013 pay scale survey found that the wage gap, especially among workers with less experience, became near non-existent when factors such as occupation and experience were controlled for. Writing on the subject for the Foundation for Economic Education, John Phelan notes that the gap can be explained by women's work preferences. This is what I was talking about earlier. Citing data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Phelan argues that women work almost a full hour less per day on average than their male peers, which over the course of the year would lead to a significant gap in earnings. According to Phelan, the reason for the discrepancy in hours worked is that women tend to prioritize taking care of children, tending to an elderly family member, or housework over working additional hours. Priorities. As I mentioned earlier, a recent Harvard study seems to support Phelan's point. Looking into the working habits of unionized workers for the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, the MBTA, the study found that despite a uniform pay scale, they're all paid the same rate. Men earn more than women at MBTA because they chose to work 83% more overtime hours than their female colleagues. If this bill eventually became law, and it won't because the Senate's controlled by people with brains, generally speaking, it would require companies to justify any pay discrepancies between men and women to the Department of Labor. So think about this. Think about this. If this, by some bizarre, weird Twilight Zone stretch of the imagination, became law, every company that employs people, every employer, would be required to explain to the government sufficiently why the women in their company earn less than the men in their company who work longer hours. This means that those who handle the books, the accountants for small businesses, would have more work to do and cost the companies more money. This is the kind of thing that's harming business across America today already. But government, being the monster that it is, must have compliance. You will comply. Why? Because women make different choices and have different priorities than men. You and I know this to be true. If you're a man, you know you are driven. Not just because your daddy told you it's the right thing for the man to do, to go out and earn a living to support his family, but because something deep down inside of you drives you out of the house to go do stuff. Preferably stuff that makes money. And as a woman, you know that something deep down inside you drives you to take care of your babies and your home and your parents and your brothers and sisters. Why? Because God wired us differently to complement each other. And when we work together, it's a beautiful thing. But when we insist on being victims, it becomes ugly and we fight one another. And the progressives are experts at making beautiful things ugly. And that's all we have time for today on this edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.